Now, let's take an adventure into what the shining light is like. Let's plot a graph. A graph of luminosity against time. Yeah? On the y-axis, I want you to have a mental picture. On the y-axis is luminosity. On the x-axis, which is the horizontal axis, is a time of the day. So the origin, 0.00, are you following this? No, you're not. Oh my goodness. All right, as a simple graph, y-axis and x-axis. And then, from the origin of the graph, the y-axis shows us luminosity. Look at the vertical axis. The bottom of the vertical axis, let's divide it into 10. All right? Let's divide it into 10. 0, 5, then 10, then 15, and it goes up to what? 50. If we divide into 10, 50 in fives. Are you getting that? 0, 5, 10, 15, up to 50. And then the horizontal axis, which is the time axis, time of the day, we have 0 hours. That's midnight. And then we have 3 a.m. midnight, past midnight. Then we have 6 a.m., right? And then we have what again? 9 a.m. And then we have what again? 12 noon. And then we have 3 p.m., 15:00, yeah? Now, when you plot that graph, at midnight, what is the level of darkness? What's the level of darkness at midnight? Zero. The luminosity is zero. At 3 o'clock in the morning, what's the level of darkness? Still zero, sort of. Or, let's, for the purpose of attaching a value, let's put an increase of 0.5. Then, now let's jump to 6 o'clock in the morning. Do you see some light at 6 a.m.? Yes, a bit of light, so we can take it up to 5 luminosity. Am I right? Then by 9 o'clock, do you see more light? Then we can take it up to 15. Then by 12 noon, do you see bright light? We can take it up to 50. You understand the gist? The path of the just is as the shining light. Shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Perfect day there refers to noon. Am I communicating here? You begin your journey in life. At early hours of your life, the ray of light is not that bright. But you know what happens at dawn? You know what happens at dawn? When you say the light is dawning, a bit of ray at 6 a.m. in the morning, you begin to see a bit of ray of light. By 7 a.m., it's becoming a bit brighter. By 8 o'clock in the morning, it's better. By 9, wow, it's quite intense. By 12 noon, it's brightest. So when you plot that graph, it goes that way in an ascending form. In reality, by the time you get to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it starts to go down. Am I right? And then go 6 p.m., he starts to go down again. But in your case, the Bible, thank you. Who did that? These guys are amazing. Give them a big God bless you. These guys are luminosity versus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Fantastic. That's the way it is. Hallelujah. Now, in that book of Proverbs, your own case, my own case, ends with perfect day. Am I right? Perfect day. So, we will not complete the real graph for a whole 24 hours, which should actually go like this. But in your case as a just person, God wants our progress, our journey, our path to take this form. Can I hear amen? So he says the path of a just man. I'm just. I don't know about you. That's what the Bible calls me. He says we are justified by faith. Now the just shall live by faith. We are made just through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you are born again, you are a child of God, you are living according to God's word, you are just. So this is a blueprint. Say, this is the blueprint. Now, out of this meeting, let's come out with this code and let that follow us for the rest of the year. Pastor Carl knows, God must have spoken to him to have selected or to have picked this topic, next level. So our code, as we're going to the coming year, is P4:18. You know what that means? Proverbs 4:18. Write it on a sticker. Put it on your doorpost. Refuse to settle for anything outside of that. P4:18. The path of a just man. My path. Now you personalize it. Like Pastor Carl said, this is a personal thing. Oh Lord, take me to the next level. Not take us. My path. Come and say, my path is as a shining light. Shining brighter and brighter. Unto a perfect day. In Jesus' name. This is God's word for you. This is what I choose to believe for you. The path of a just man is as a shining light. My path is as a shining light. 2016, my path is a shining light. Those who think it is over for you, those who think you have reached your peak, those who think you have attained your best, come and say, I have not attained my best yet. Those who think you have reached your peak. Now, for me as a person, I haven't reached my noonday. I haven't. I am just starting. I'm just about between 6 o'clock a.m. and 7 a.m. So I still have a long way to go. Come on, say amen. I was in UK. I was watching the Congress, the Holy Ghost Congress organized by the RCCG that just was concluded last week. And I saw the General Overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Daddy Gio, telling the audience that the service for Saturday night will be holding in the new auditorium. When the present auditorium was built, everybody thought that was the final. Because the present auditorium can take up to over 1 million people at one sitting. Up to 2 million people, to be honest. And there's not like it all over the world. So everybody felt, and the man just clocked, this year he clocked 73. So everybody's like, well, okay, fine. Yeah, retirement mode. And suddenly the man said, well, I'm only just starting now. At 73. Sorry, how old are you? How old are you? Now, this applies to your career. This applies to your ministry. This applies to your marriage. This applies to your businesses. This applies to every area of your life. I'm not just talking about your spiritual life alone. Yes, that's the cardinal point I'll be hammering on. My path is as a shining light. Shining brighter and brighter. Your prayer life can be better. Your relationship with God can be better. Your knowledge of God's word can be better. Amazingly, exactly 1 year ago I was here. Is that right? exactly 1 year ago, and Pastor was telling me, looks like this is becoming like an annual event now. Exactly 1 year ago, I was here, and I'm now reflecting back 1 year ago. 1 year has come and gone. Let's examine ourselves and see, have you appreciated in the word level? Have you appreciated in your relationship with God? Have you appreciated in your knowledge of God, understanding God more? Do you know there's a level a believer moves to or walks in where you can now say, oh, I understand the Lord better than I did last year. So you can't make the errors. You can't make mistakes of the yesteryears, because you now understand the workings of God, mystery of the kingdom, the principles of the kingdom. I submit to you, between last year and now, last year, December, that was here, and now, I have added lots of values. Spiritual value. I personally have added a lot of values. I've been more patient. My response to things that upset me, my response time has been much better. We need to take an evaluation. We need to do an appraisal of the last 1 year. Praise God. The same way you respond and react yesteryears, if it's still the same, what upsets you? How do you manage anger? How do you manage crisis? Have you improved your maturity level? Has it appreciated? That's part of what we're saying. The path of a just man is as a shining light. In the last 1 year, I've learned to be more quiet. At least, even if it's by 2%, is something. Value must be added each year in your life, spiritually speaking. In the last 1 year, I can tell you, I have learned to be more patient with my wife. Not that I wasn't patient at all, but once in a while, you know, you could be a bit upset. I've learned to be more patient. The last 1 year, I've learned to understand the children. In the last 1 year, I've learned to agree with God's timetable. I've learned not to twist God's hand and make him do my bidding by force. The path of a just man is as a shining light, shining brighter and brighter. In the last 1 year, your ability to resist temptation, has it appreciated? That's what we call ability level. I can use physics and science to explain so many things. There's what we call resistance level. In electronics, there's what we call impedance and resistance. There's what we call resistors, capacitors, inductors. These are active components in electrical circuits. Now, essentially, the resistor impedes flow of current and electricity to regulate it. Now, your level of resistance to sin, temptations, things that naturally your resistance level was quite low in the yesteryears, as it improved over the years. Things that appealed to you and had the capability to distract you from serving God effectively, do they still have the same toll and effect on you after 1 year? Or it has reduced considerably to a level? Am I communicating here? Let me say this. In the book of 2 John, chapter number 1 and verse 2, the Apostle John said, this is the will of God for you. It says, beloved, I wish above all things you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's John, 3 John 1:2. 3 John 1 3 John 2. Yeah. Thank you. Now, John was simply telling us the mind of God for our lives, the purpose of God for our lives. Anything that is organic grows. Am I right? Agriculturists or medical doctors? Cells live, they grow. Am I right? You as a person, you grow. Anything that does not grow has an element of deadness. Maybe it's dead. Stagnant, anything that is stagnant, that does not. But the Bible tells us that we have God's Zoe life, so God expects us to grow. The church is an organ that is living, that has life generated by the Holy Spirit. In Ezekiel 47, I'll finish with this before we pray. Ezekiel 47 is just an introduction. Ezekiel 47, verse 1 to 9. Let's read it together. Ezekiel 47, verse 1 to 9. It's a prototype of what God intends for the church, for what God intends for you and I. Our walk with God, our spiritual life, our relationship with God. Ezekiel 47, verse 1 to 9. Let's read. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from the under the threshold of the house, eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Somebody say waters. Now the waters is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, symbolic of God's word, symbolic of the life of God. The waters here is symbolic of joy in the Holy Spirit. The waters here is symbolic of our spiritual life. The waters here is symbolic, as I said, of God's word. The waters here is symbolic of the measure of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Verse 2. Then he brought me out of the way to the gates northward, and led me about the way without unto the outer gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. Verse 3. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, like a tape rule, like a measuring equipment. And he brought me through the waters. And the waters were to the ankles. Somebody say ankles. I want you to have a mental picture of this. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Somebody say knees. Again, he measured 1,000. This is the third time he's measuring 1,000 cubits, which is about half, 450 meters. And brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the loins, or the waist. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river. Somebody say river. A river that I could not pass over, for the waters were rising. Note that. Waters to swim in. A river that could not be passed over. Verse 6. He said unto me, Son of man, have you seen this? Look up here. Son of man, have you seen this? This is a blueprint of God's plan for the church, for our lives, for you and for me. From ankle to which level? To the knees, and then to which level? To the waist, and then to which level? Overflow. It corroborates Proverbs 4:18. The path of a just man is as a shining light, shining brighter and brighter and brighter until it reaches the perfect day. The question is, why did he have to go 1,000 by 1,000? He could have measured 4,000 cubits at once and brought, and it would have brought him through the waters to the level of overflow. Why did he have to break it in piecemeal? Here a little, there a little. Precept upon precept, line upon line. The first 1,000, ankle level. The second 1,000, knee level. The 3,000, waist level. The 4,000, overflow. The important thing is, there was progression. Now, look at the picture here. He said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, have you seen this?" That's another way of saying, have you seen what I just showed you? Son of man, have you seen this? I like that question. Ezekiel, let's go. Out of the dry land, where there was no water, he brought him through the waters, ankle level. That talks about the measure of the word. That talks about the measure of the spirit. In Ephesians 5, I think 26 and 27, the Bible talks about the fact that God's word is likened to water. He said that he might cleanse the church through the washing of water by the word. Ephesians 5, 26 and 27 or so. You check it there. Through the water by the word. That he might cleanse her through the washing of water by the word. So, my view is this. For every level of water, it's indication of the level of God's word. Level of relationship with God. Level of God's grace, God's word, God's divine instruction and direction in the man's life. At one point, it was ankle level. That's fine. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. What's happening? 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years. When you ought to be teachers, you now need that others are teaching you. And God said, "Son of man, have you seen this?" This is supposed to be a progress. This is my pattern. Sir, we have seen all kinds of situations in church today without prejudice. But I don't believe that such things should be so. We've seen people who are members of churches 10 years, 12 years, 20 years. They are not doing anything in the church. They are regular. But we can say they have remained in the ankle level for a long time. And then you see people who come to church, who come to the fold. In 5 years, they're ready on the waist level. Sir, I don't know whether it obtains here. In our ministry back home, our policy is not how long you have spent with the church or ministry. So we got here first. Did you notice in Matthew 21 that when Jesus told his disciples to go and lose the donkey, he said to them, "Bring the donkey and the colt, the baby donkey." The word used in Matthew 21 is "lose them." If anyone asks you, say, "The master has need of them." I said, "Lord, what is the representation of the adult donkey, the mother donkey, and the baby donkey?" And the Lord responded and gave me three instances, three interpretations. The mother donkey talks about those who have experience, who have been long in the thing. The baby donkey talks about those who are just few years, who may not necessarily have experience like the mother donkey. But Jesus said, I am ready to use any of them who is willing. Am I making sense here? Secondly, the mother donkey represents those who have been born again for years. The baby donkey represents those who newly came into the fold. And Jesus was trying to say, those of you who have been in it for years, you can't intimidate those who are still coming in. I have need of them. You need to understand that. It is my prayer that as we move into this coming year, God will give you divine speed. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Those of you who have stayed too long in the ankle level, may God give you the power. May God give you the grace. May God give you the fire to move to the knee level, to move to the waist level, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, take me to the next level in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. And move to the waist level. And move to the level of overflow. And God said to him, son of man, have you seen this? A couple of months ago, I made up my mind. I said, Lord, I want to do more. I want more of you. I want to fellowship more. I want to pray more. I want to study more. In a bid to do that, you know what I did? I put audio Bible. I installed Bible on all my devices. iPad, where I've always had it here. Phone. A small MP3 player. By my bedside, I got a small stereo player by my bedside. I have a complete Bible CD. I put it there. In the car, I have CDs, loads of CDs, audio Bible, I put in the car. So in the car, the word is playing. In the room, the word is playing. In the bus stop, in the train station, or in the lounge, in the airport, on the plane, the word with my headphone and my device, the audio Bible is playing. By the end of 6 months, my word level had increased. By the end of 6 months. Are you making any effort personally to add value, to improve, to go deeper with God, to get deeper with your relationship with God? Employ everything employable, including technology. Can I hear amen? Including technology. The devil has fought me over the years. Years back, I said, I'll do 6 hours of staying in God's presence every day. I want to live in God's presence to carry the smoke. The longer you stay in the kitchen where there's smoke, those who back in Africa, those who know a bit about villages in Africa, where they used all those stones and all that, the longer you stay in the smoky environment, the more your garment or whatever you're wearing will smell of the same smoke. Have you read Psalm 45? Who is in the media? You just put this thing on Ezekiel. I've quoted so many other scriptures, you put it here. And I was hailing you before. Now, Psalm 45. Look at Psalm 45. It says, all thy garments smell of cassia, aloes, out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. All thy garments smell of myrrh, aloes, cassia. These are the components of the anointing oil. All your garments smell. Come and say, my garments will smell nice. The longer you stay in God's presence, because in God's presence is also smoke. Someone says smoke. smoke. There's smoke in God's presence. The longer you stay in the place of worship, in the place of prayer, in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw the glory of God, he said he saw smoke. In Isaiah chapter 6 says, in the year King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Look at verse number 2. It says, above his two seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. Now, watch this. One cried unto another, said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Verse number 4. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. I was saying smoke. Say it again. Look at the way you guys are looking at me. Are you getting blessed here this morning? Praise the Lord. I was filled with smoke. Smoke of his glory. Smoke of his presence. The longer you stay, the more it rubs on you. The longer you stay. Another thing we will pray for as we're going to the coming year is the staying power. Someone says staying power. There are powers fighting that ability to stay, that wants to take you from God's presence. Distractions, telephone calls, WhatsApp messages, Facebook beeping. Powers, they are contending for you. The devil wants to erode and deal with your staying power. I've gone through it. In the early days, when we began, I could be on my knees for 12 hours. I mean, God is here. I don't need to impress you. Tell you the truth. 12 hours. Finally, 000. Bam. 000. Heat. Someone says, stay in power. Stay in power. God will give you that grace. Like Reverend Ode said this morning, he said, God will give you the grace for grace. Stay in power. None of us will remain on this level. As we go into the new year, as a church, as individual, levels must change. From ankle to knee to the waist to overflow. Engage all that God has given you. Engage all that God has given you. Your might, your willpower. Engage all the arsenal that God has given you. And make up your mind. I am moving out of the ankle level. For it is written, my path is as a shining light. And this will apply in your spiritual life. It will apply in your business. It will apply in your finances. It will apply in your ministry. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lift your hands one more time. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to move to the next level. Oh God, take me to the next level. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Now, while I round up with this, stand on your feet, please. I'm about to pray. I'm respecting the time. It has clicked 000 now. Now, while we're standing on our feet, now listen to this. Next year is going to be a great year for this church, for every individual here. It's going to be a great year. See, I haven't come here with 7 principles, 10 steps, 5 keys. I haven't come here with that. My emphasis will be, let's focus on the spiritual life. I'm telling you the truth. That's the key. Let's just put focus on our relationship with God, on our fellowship with God. The rest becomes a walkover. Can I hear better? Amen. The rest becomes a walkover. Because of time, in the evening, I will share more testimonies with you. of what we've seen God do recently. How God has changed people's lives because they focused on the spiritual. Look at Joseph. Before we take this prayer, but look at Joseph, which would have been my case study today. When he left his father's house, he was 17. The Bible tells us his brothers envied him. And because of envy, they sold him to Egypt. If you look at Joseph, 17 years old, youthful exuberance must have played. He had dreams. He told his brothers. He told his dad. He had another dream. He told them yet the more, and they hated him the more. Finally, they sold him out. You know the story. Sold him to Egypt. Sold him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites took him to Egypt. While they were discussing on selling him, if you read Genesis 37, the Bible says, and his brothers were eating while Joseph was in the pit crying. They were eating. Now, when you imagine someone eating while his brother was in a desperate situation, was in a state of calamity, what's your view about such people? What would be your conclusion? What would be your view about such individual? Wickedness of the highest order. In fact, do you know Simeon and Levi? The Bible says, instrument of cruelty is in the habitation. Genesis 49 tells us, Jacob, when he was about to bless them, 5 and 6 of Genesis 49, he says, Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instrument of cruelty is in the habitation. He said, oh my soul, don't come near to them. Oh my honor, do not reside with them. For in their anger, they dig down a wall. And in their self-will, in their anger, they killed an entire village. In their self-will, they dig down a wall. He said, cursed be their anger. Scatter them in Israel. Divide them in Jacob. Simeon and Levi, instrument of cruelty. They were actually very wicked. They were the ones who had, they were the guys who planned that evil against Joseph. He said, how do you know? Reuben was the firstborn, followed by Simeon and Levi. Reuben was absent for some reasons, temporarily. He wasn't there. And when he came back, he found out that the boy was no longer there. And then he began to weep. He said, what should I tell our dad? He was the firstborn. What should I tell our dad? And then if you look at Genesis chapter number, I think 46 or 47. When they came to Egypt and Joseph was made, before Joseph was made known to them, they didn't know it was Joseph. And Joseph pretended as though he didn't understand Hebrew. He was speaking with an interpreter. And then Joseph heard them saying among themselves, Reuben was saying, see, I told you guys not to kill our brother. Now his blood is pursuing us. That was when Joseph threatened that they were spies and I was going to lock them up. And the punishment for spies is execution, espionage mission. He said, you are spies. You are spies. And Joseph knew they were his brothers. But he said, you are spies. And Reuben started saying, I told you guys not to kill that boy. And I'm sure Joseph got to know the truth of the matter, that Reuben was not part of it. It was Simeon and Levi who were instruments of cruelty. And now watch this. 13 years later, I want you to know these two things. He knew them. They didn't know him. Have you ever thought about it? Do you know he knew them? But they didn't know him. So what's the logic behind this? Wait. 13 years ago, you and I met. 13 years ago, before 13 years ago, we have lived together for 17 years. 13 years after, I know you and you know me. Does that sound logical? No. Does it sound logical? No, it's illogical. Something must be responsible. My conviction is this. Joseph had gone through metamorphosis. First of all, spiritually. His brothers had remained the way they were. No change. I think I'll continue in the evening. No change. And hear this. When they got to know it was Joseph, finally, they started to cry. They said, he's going to revenge. And Joseph broke into tears and said, how can I revenge? Am I God? He said, you sold me, but God turned it out for good. When, after 30 years, what was coming to their heart was still vengeance. It shows they haven't changed spiritually. After 13 years, Joseph was talking about forgiveness. They were talking about revenge. Lift your hands. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you. Ancient of Days, we appreciate you. We yield ourselves to you. We yield our spirit, soul, and bodies to you. We ask, oh Lord, take us to the next level. We are tired of this valley. We are tired of this position. We want more of you. We want more of your presence. We want more fellowship with you. We want to move from ankle level to the level of overflow. We don't want to remain stagnant in our walk and relationship with you. Take us to the next level, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive your word. I am going to the next level. Let every yoke of stagnancy, every yoke of distractions be broken over life in the name of Jesus. Father, take me to the next level in the mighty name of Jesus. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord right now. Talk to the Lord right now. Shalabarabah.